The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. Plenty to come on today's program. A little later on, Hercules Gomez will be here to talk about the possibility of Gonzalo Higuain going to Inter Miami. Frank Leboeuf also joins us to talk about this extraordinary young French generation that's coming through as we start to look ahead to the Nations League, which, of course, available here on ESPN. Steve Nicol will be here as well. We'll be talking about whether or not he's concerned that Liverpool have been quiet so far in the summer transfer window. We start, though, with the story, as we do so often these days. Lionel Messi wanting to leave Barcelona. The big story today, the media knew all about it, was the fact you had Lionel Messi's dad talking to the Barcelona board. Well, Craig and Gab join us to discuss this. Gab, let's start there, shall we? What happened?
That's right. His father arriving early on Wednesday morning, wasting no time, meeting with his other son, Rodrigo, and with the lawyers, and then later making his way over to meet with Bartomeu, the Barcelona president. The report states about between 90 minutes and 2 hours of meetings. He was quoted as saying afterwards in Argentina, saying, "Oh no, my son's going." Early indication is that neither side is budging from their positions. Jorge Messi reiterating that Lionel wants to leave Barcelona and he's exercised his clause, so he doesn't expect there to be a transfer fee to be paid. Barcelona reiterating that he's still under contract until June 30th, 2021. And so the only way he's moving is if the club agree a transfer fee. And even according to reports, again, in Spain, suggesting that, hey, by the way, while you're here, can we discuss a 2-year extension to Leo's contract? Now, I think that would have been a little bit cheeky. I think what we can take for certain is that this isn't the end of the Jorge v. Bartomeu meetings.
Yeah, this is it, Gab, isn't it? There's going to be no quick resolution. We're going to be here this time next month having pretty much the same discussion.
Well, look, this is the thing, right? Because there's a third element to this, which is, there have been other reports suggesting that Manchester City are saying, are kind of backing, if you will, Jorge Messi and saying, look, we don't want to pay, we would never pay a transfer fee because he's a free agent. Why would we? But it is self-destructive. People have talked about, you know, going to the courts and taking legal action and this and that. The reality is if it goes to the courts, you could see a situation where for 2 or 3 months, Lionel Messi does not play football until the situation is resolved. That doesn't help Lionel Messi, even if later the courts say that he's right and he is released and he can move. It's not going to help him missing half a season at his age. And equally, if the courts say, no, he's got to stay in Barcelona, in some ways that's even worse because that's the ultimate Pyrrhic victory because Barcelona get an unhappy Messi back halfway through the season and he's still going to walk as a free agent in June. Uh-huh. So it's in everybody's interest to reach some sort of resolution here. The question is, what kind of resolution is that going to be?
What a mess. What an absolute mess. I want to move on because we're going to be talking about this, obviously, a lot over the next couple of weeks.
Just one second, Dan, to touch on the... Sorry, I know you want to move on, but we'll be talking about it tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. I know, and Gab's right, there is no quick resolution to this, but one thing I would say is if they do try and pursue this freedom of contract, end of contract resolution, clearly it will become a huge legal battle. Now, we know anyway that those normally take months and months, if not years. But think about it, there is already a backlog in court cases across the board, particularly in the harder hit countries with the COVID-19. Because a lot of these countries, even the most important parts of the country, were having to shut down for certain periods. So everything is at a backlog. And we know already how long legal cases like this can take. You throw in the shutdown from the pandemic, and we could be looking at, you know, maybe not months, but well over a year.
Let's talk about something that can be resolved, it seems, a lot quicker. Luis Suarez to Juventus, Gab.
Well, it looks like it's been resolved pretty quickly. Luis Suarez has an agreement in principle with Juventus. He's taking a pay cut, incidentally, cutting his wages by about a third relative to what he was making in Barcelona in exchange for what's likely to be a three-year deal. However, Luis Suarez, perhaps in contrast to Gareth Bale, who I imagine we'll get to at some point, is saying, okay, look, I'm just going to leave, but you guys got to give me a little bit of money to go away. So that seems to be the one final sticking point here. Can he get, you know, sort of a golden farewell from Barcelona, who, you know, it gives you a sense of the state of the club right now, that they would rather pay money to Suarez to go away so that they can cut the wage bill rather than hold out for a fee of some kind.
A couple of issues being highlighted with this move, Craig. We'll start off with the Chiellini biting sort of elephant in the room. Does that play any part? It seems a strange question to ask, but will he mind? Does it matter?
Will he mind? Well, look, you know, clearly that was a crazy incident amongst many in Luis Suarez's career, it has to be said. But I don't think so. I think what you do here is you make a phone call. If the move is, you know, if everything's, you know, done and dusted, you make a phone call, you make a beeline for him in the dressing room, yeah, or before you get to training, you go around the house and you sort it out. And I'm sure they're manly enough to do so. And I'm sure Suarez, and he has already admitted the stupidity of the incident. I think the bigger issue here is, and you know, I've always been a huge fan of this player, but his fitness, his form, and lastly, with a 36-year-old, I believe Ronaldo still there, his mobility. And I think that with those two at the club in that front line, that would be kind of a worry, that, you know, that's a slightly immobile front pairing, if you want to call it a pairing. But in terms of quality, there's no question about it. But in terms of mobility with those two, and we've talked about Ronaldo before and how his role has changed over the last two or three years, that would be the only concern about how you're going to balance those two players.
Ronaldo, 35. I know he's looking rough at the moment. Gab?
35.
What's the reaction been? Do you think this works for you?
Well, I mean, I think you're going to have to try to shift Higuain, of course, to make this work between now and the end of the transfer window. Look, Juventus, you've seen this last couple of years. They have a very short-termist attitude. They pick up veterans on free transfers who they think can help them win straight away. It's not just him. It's, you know, you saw it with Khedira, you saw it with Blaise Matuidi. The other guy that they're linked with, incidentally, is Edin Dzeko, who I believe is even older than Luis Suarez. That's the reality of Juventus right now. They're not taking a longer view. As far as Suarez and Chiellini are concerned, they have met before. They're both grown-ups.
Oh.
Look, unless Suarez gets hungry again and starts taking
Gab,
big bites
come on,
out of
him. You're better than that, Gab. Come on. Senior reporter. And you couldn't avoid that.
How can you?
Meanwhile, it's the first time we've really heard from Gareth Bale. He doesn't speak out a lot. Normally, everything is through his agent. But interesting stuff, speaking ahead of his Wales game. Gab basically blaming Real Madrid for everything, saying that they are in control and they're making it very difficult for him to leave the club. We know what's happened before. We know that he could have gone to China last year. But since then, I find it difficult to believe that Real Madrid have stopped him going anywhere, because they're like, no, please, we want to give you 15 million euros every year. Please take it to sit on the bench. Don't go anywhere. This doesn't make any sense.
I hope I misunderstood and you said 50 more than 15, because it's certainly closer to that than it is to 15. Look, the simple fact of the matter here is that there's a Bale narrative, which is supposedly that they had set up this deal with China, and Real Madrid said, okay, well, if you can afford to give him this giant contract, you can afford to pay us a transfer fee. And in the Bale narrative, that killed his dream move to China, and that's why he went back to playing golf, basically. If he really wants to move, it's very simple. Find a club that'll take you, take a pay cut from that club, and say, hey, the money that you were willing to give me, some of that, give it to Real Madrid, so that you can get a transfer fee and I can be released from my contract. He has every right to stay there and get paid. I don't think it's a good look to sit there and start complaining on top of that, that, you know, they're not letting you go, because he's just not doing himself any favors. And it's a shame, because, you know, if this continues, he'll be remembered for this stuff as much as he will for his spectacular achievements with the club, including his achievements in the Champions League final.
Yeah, today marks the anniversary since he joined Real Madrid, and what a kind of roller coaster it's been. Craig, of course, very much the height, scoring the overhead kick in the Champions League final, that goal in the Copa del Rey as well. But for the last couple of years, he's kind of just become a little bit of a laughingstock.
Yeah, I totally agree with Gab. I think, you know, whilst the player himself, I don't know, as an individual, may not be concerned about winding his career down the way he is, I think it would be, bearing in mind the talent that he clearly has, a great shame. And it is, and it has become a circus. And he, you know, Real Madrid have some blame in that, and undoubtedly so has he. But quite frankly, I think everybody's quite sick of the golf videos now and the golf stuff, because, you know, he's a paid professional, and whilst, you know, he's not the flavour of the month at Real Madrid, or in fact the apple of the eye of Zinedine Zidane, he could be, they could be able to get some sort of sweetheart deal with Real Madrid, where they get a bit like Luis Suarez, as Gab talked about, whereas they give him a little bit of money, he goes away, finds a good club, takes a pay cut, and you know what, showcases his talent on the field again. I'd really like to see that with Gareth Bale, because when he's fit and fully fit, he's graceful, isn't he? And he's capable of doing some fantastic things. But that horse is bolted at Real Madrid. You just can't see it going back there. And I do hope this circus, and it is a circus, comes to an end. And he goes away and realises that it's a short career. And he's made a lot of money, I've no doubt. And you know what? Go and enjoy it. Get a fresh challenge. And try and be the Gareth Bale of 4 and 5 years ago. Because he's still capable of doing that. But the question is, does he have the desire to go and do that again?
Yeah, that's the big question, Nick, right? Because from just a completely neutral point of view, who's never played the game, most of us dreamt of playing the game. And it seems such a shame that you've got this guy who's got all this talent who is basically sitting there taking the money. Was that just naive of me?
Well, look, there's always two sides to your story. And Gabrielli pointed out, you know, Real Madrid are contractually obliged to pay him his contract. And as long as he pitches up at training every day and does as he's told within the boundaries of his contract, then he's not doing anything wrong. The trouble is, everybody's different. And, you know, the question, the people on the outside would look at Gareth Bale and you'll question now the desire to continue on with this circus. I keep using that word, but to continue on with this, or B, try and get your agent and work your way out there and go and re-kick and restart your career again, because he is capable of going and having success somewhere else. But as I say, everyone's different. I don't know, you know yourself, Madrid's a great place to live. It's a great temperature. There's lots of great golf. Everything's fantastic. But he's not playing. He's not playing what he's paid to play. And that's football. And as I say, one day he may or may not look back when he's 35 or 36 and say, ah, you know, I wish I'd just chucked the towel in there and gone and finished my career somewhere else. And, you know, we'll see what happens in that one. But I get a feeling a bit like the Lionel Messi story at Barcelona. This Bale one's going to rumble on and rumble on as well.
And then do you think, like, he obviously took part in that commercial for the UK broadcaster where he was playing golf and almost laughing at himself not being able to play. Do you think that helps, or does that just show that he can laugh at himself or laugh at the situation, Craig? Or does it add fuel to the fire?
Well, it might be adding fuel to the Real Madrid fire, who have a player who gets paid an awful lot amount of money, who seems to be making a joke of it and has continually made a joke of it. And I think in the early days of the relationship with Zidane, it was clear frustration. But I think it's gone way past that now, because it's been going on for the best part of a couple of years, if not more. So, look, he has obligations with broadcasters in the United Kingdom to do some stuff. But sometimes you just got to sit back and say, well, I have to think about my employer as well. But yeah, clearly at the moment, his employer, Real Madrid, are secondary to his thoughts.
Finally, Van de Beek is officially a Manchester United player, Gab. We've, of course, discussed this at length over the last few days. What is the significance of this signing regarding Jadon Sancho? Have they taken some of the money that they would have given him in the transfer market and spent it on Van de Beek? Or is that like war chest of money still available to bring in the young Englishman?
I don't think the two things are necessarily related. I mean, obviously, if you draw up a United lineup and you say, ooh, how do I get Van de Beek, Bruno Fernandes, and Pogba into the same midfield? You know, maybe play a diamond, which incidentally, both Van de Beek, Pogba, and Fernandes, all three of them have played that before, and Pogba actually played his best football in the diamond. Then if you play a diamond, then you've only have a front two and there's no room for Sancho. But equally, you're Manchester United. If you have a chance to get Sancho, you go and get Sancho and then you figure it out later. Van de Beek is versatile enough. Remember, Pogba is also going to be entering the last 2 years of his contract as well. That gives you a little bit of leverage over Pogba as well, whether you might want to sell him at some point next year or get him to extend on your terms. So I think this is just a case of United adding an asset. I don't think he's going to have any trouble getting on the pitch a lot, even though maybe Pogba and Fernandes are ahead of him initially. I don't think this impacts Sancho in any way.
That's it, boys. Thank you very much. Gab, by the way, returns the Gab and Jules podcast on Thursday. Be sure to download the latest edition. However, Jules, so upset that Gab is back, is off. Stuart Robson will be sitting in for Jules. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Well, Craig's still with us as Stevie Nicol joins the show as well. Stevie, on yesterday's programme, Mark Ogden, when talking about the future of Thiago and that possible move to Liverpool, said really they need to get rid of Wijnaldum first before they can bring Thiago in. If you were the man making the decisions, would you give that the green light?
If Wijnaldum is not desperate to leave, then I would keep Wijnaldum. And I don't understand why you would change it. Because clearly it's been successful. Right now, you know, the middle of the park is as strong as far as physicality, as far as getting the ball back, as far as supplying your front three. I mean, it's one of the best in Europe. So I think sometimes it's a little dangerous to change things when clearly they're working. I can't disagree that Thiago Alcantara is a fantastic football player. But is it going to upset the apple cart? And why would you gamble when right now, clearly, you're the team that everybody has to beat?
Stevie, you've said in the past, though, that the great teams, the ones that were successful year after year, Sir Alex Ferguson's Manchester United, your Liverpool boys, the key to that was bringing in a big, fresh face to really liven things up.
Yep.
Are Liverpool in danger of not doing that because obviously they've been so inactive in the transfer window so far?
Well, I think clearly when they were trying to sign Werner, that was their thoughts. They obviously think that way. But because of the pandemic, I'm pretty sure the finances are a little tight. And I'm pretty sure that's why Werner ended up going to Chelsea and not coming to Liverpool, because of the money side of it. So I don't think it's a lack of ambition. I don't think it's a lack of, well, it'd be great to have a quality and known, proven quality player coming in. But if the money just doesn't fit, then it doesn't fit. So, yes, I would love to have seen a Werner or even if Alcantara does come in, then he's going to make Liverpool better. But right now, as I said, they're on top. They have a lot of young players that I think the decision of Klopp and how he sees them as the future, if they are the future, will also come into play when it comes to signing players. So, yes, I agree that I would like to have seen a player, but I think because of the money, it just wasn't happening.
Human nature, Nick Ray, to pick holes in the champions that won, let's not forget, by 18 points. However, with Manchester City looking to strengthen their squad, talks of Koulibaly, of course, coming in, and Lionel Messi, which we've already discussed on the show, are Liverpool in danger of getting a little stale as we start the new season?
Well, if you don't sign anybody of any note, then we're going to find out. But what we should remember here is the transfer window's open into October. So they have got probably the best part of, I think it's October 5th, but I might be wrong, but they've got the best part of 5 weeks almost or thereabouts. So there's plenty of time for deals still to be done. I just don't think we'll see a huge deal from Liverpool's perspective. I mean, I don't think we'll see the superstar coming in. I think they'll be coy about it. But clearly, you know, he's been backed over the piece, you know, particularly with the goalkeeper in the centre-half. You know, they really pushed the boat out for those two players, and that was the final piece of the jigsaw at that time. To go back to the Ronaldo point, did Augie not say in the show yesterday that there is some sort of contractual dispute between Ronaldo and the club? I think there's a year left in the contract, and, you know, he's searching for certain wages, and, you know, Liverpool are holding fort because they don't want to pay too much. Because certainly, as Stevie said, Genie Ronaldo is not a player you'd want to shove out the door rather quickly, because he can do all sorts in that midfield. He gets around, he's box to box, and he's a goal threat. So I think in an ideal world, you know, Liverpool need to bring one or two in, and I still believe, Dan, that they'll do that. I just, clearly it's not going to be like Man City are trying to bring in Messi, or Man United are trying to bring in some real big hitters. Chelsea are doing the same. But these clubs are on a serious rebuild. It's a subtle placement for Liverpool, a subtle signing that they need.
How detrimental, though, could it be, Stevie, on their title defence if they bring in nobody? That's it. It's the same squad as last year. With regards to the motivation from the squad, will it still be the same?
Dan, we're talking minuscule. I 100% would like to see somebody come in and just, you know, somebody of note to keep everybody on the toes. But if, oh my goodness, what a disaster, we're left with what we've got, if that's the case, then, as I said, it's minuscule. You know, we're not talking about a team that's got three or four or five players who are coming to the end of their career or going the wrong side of 30 or anything like that. You know, you've basically got at least a starting 11 that absolutely is pretty much in the prime. The starting 11 is flying. So if there's any sort of discord at all, it's completely minuscule, in my opinion.
Dan, you know, I said, I think it was last week we were talking about this, and we were talking about Roberto Firmino and, you know, these wonderful talents and how at the end of the season and people were saying, well, he's not scored enough goals and blah, blah, blah. But there's so many different facets to his game. I think it is one position if I was a Liverpool supporter, I'd like to see them go out and be able to bring somebody in that was suitable to play that position if needed, or back up Firmino when injured or come off the bench, something different. And I do think that you know, he carries an awful heavy load, and you can't continually ask, you know, Mane and Mo Salah, who's something has frustrating games, and Roberto Firmino to work as hard as he does, to then get, you know, 30 goals a season. And if Liverpool could bring somebody in, maybe a physical presence up front, somebody when Robertson and Alexander-Arnold get down the wings and whip balls in, could come off the bench and be a good threat in the air, I think that would be a good foil for Firmino, who did carry a lot of pressure and has carried a lot of pressure over the last couple of seasons.
And this is where you'll take a big, deep breath, Stevie, as I ask you, who could that person be?
No idea. I mean, there's listen, let's be honest. When Firmino came in, we were all kind of scratching our head a little bit, thinking, how is he going to take Liverpool to the Premier League title? So this is all down to the scouting department, because clearly they've tried in Werner to sign a proven quality to play down the middle, and I would suggest that the thought would be to give, you know, him and Firmino that role through the pipe. So they're clearly thinking about it, but there aren't that many options, and the good ones is a lot of money. And if they can't afford to pay the Werner money, which wasn't particularly huge, then they certainly ain't going and buying a proven superstar. So this is all down to what they've got behind the scenes in the scouting department. If they can come up with a young Firmino, if you
right.
like, who can be brought in and sort of groomed and given some time and a few games.
What about like an older option, Stevie? Obviously, Edinson Cavani leaving PSG, just as someone completely different to Firmino.
Absolutely.
That you could bring on with the crosses coming in from the wings. Well, does that kind of work?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. I mean, to have a guy of a Cavani quality in a stage of his career where he knows his role's going to be given the odd start, coming off the bench, and for a guy who's used to winning as well, to walk into a team that are sitting where Liverpool are, is absolutely perfect for everybody, not just the player, but for Liverpool as well. So 100%, a sort of Cavani signing would be absolutely great. And actually, how about you just throw in, if Suarez is in that sort of mode as well, it seems Koeman's not interested. Would that be the role for Luis Suarez to come back to Anfield and do? That would be great as well. So think about that one.
Craig, we talked about Suarez going to Juventus, didn't we, earlier on in the show?
Yeah.
Would that fit? I mean, Liverpool?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a little bit of short-termism as long as you've got a bigger, longer-term picture, which Liverpool have with younger players as well. We're seeing, we're seeing Man City thinking about Koulibaly and Messi, two players that really aren't, I mean, marvellous players, but, you know, certainly with Koulibaly, there's not going to be a sell-on, is there, at 29 years old or whatever he is. But, you know, managers need to plug holes fast because of the pressure that they're under. And you can't always go and get the best 19 and 20-year-old out there, because sometimes they're not available and other times they're not quite ready. A couple of names, we looked at Suarez, you mentioned Cavani. I think last week I threw in a couple of names, and Milik from Napoli. And one that I really like short term, but he's got super Premier League experience, and I think he's a super player, is Edin Dzeko at Roma. And, you know, these guys are proven at doing a job at the highest level. And I just think Liverpool are a little short in the department of a backup to Roberto Firmino. And there are players out there, I think, that can do that job. And I'd hate to see them struggle this year if his goals dried up. And I know they get it from other places in the team, but there's always a big pressure in your front man to get a quota of goals. And I do think he needs some support. And it'll be interesting to see if Liverpool go out and try and back up that position.
Boys, thank you very much. More from Stevie and Craig as they're joined by Gab on Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A new Nations League campaign kicks off over the next few days for France. They start their campaign against Sweden, and it's quite the squad that has been announced, including Eduardo Camavinga, who becomes the youngest French player in 88 years to be called up to the international squad. Frank Leboeuf joins us. Frank, how good is he?
Eduardo is a fantastic player. He's already a fantastic player, and the world will know him better than now. He's with the national team. He plays for Rennes. Rennes has ambitions and want to do better in the Ligue 1. He decided to stay, which is, I think, a very good decision for himself. When you see him playing, you see that something's going to happen. He played the first day of the Ligue 1 against Lille. He came on for the last, I think, 30 minutes. And Rennes came back in the game, and we could see that he changed everything. The pace of the game, the power, the mentality of the players. I mean, he's only 17 years old. It's still a mystery for me to be so mature, to be so consistent, and to be able to make a difference as he can do. It's a plus, and Rennes is very fortunate to have him for another year, because I guess next year he will go maybe to Paris Saint-Germain in France, or certainly maybe to a big club in the world, in the top 10 in the world, because he's already a fantastic player. He reminds me of somebody that I love. He was my coach, my teammate for like a year, was Ruud Gullit, because of the haircut, of course, but the way that he plays make me think of Ruud when he was playing for PSV Eindhoven, very young, and changing the game and the pace of the game every time he had the ball.
And of course, he has to be French. It's just a common theme now. If you're a good young player, you're French. You know, we've been talking about Upamecano over the last couple of weeks. Now, good he is. Inevitably, you know, he's from France. And all of this, new Kylian Mbappe, who's still just 21 years of age, there must be a huge sense of excitement around this group of youngsters, Frank.
Yeah, we are very excited to see how they're going to cope and how they're going to the match with the others, the more mature players. It's going to be very exciting, as you said. But it's also a disappointment because we already know that they're going to go. And it doesn't make the league any better, because we all know that other countries, other clubs have more money. And except Paris Saint-Germain, who could keep those kind of players, they're definitely going to go to please other fans. But that's what it is. And we all know that for now almost 25 years with the Bosman law, where we all allowed to go. I went to Chelsea in June 1996 because of that, and we can't regret that, because it's what it is and it should be, and we have to accept that. But we're very pleased and very at the same time concerned about the beauty and the pearls and the diamonds that we can see and we raise in France. But we all know that they're going to go to richer pockets, I would say, and that's okay, because we're going to see them playing in for fantastic clubs too.
And of course, no matter which club they play in, they're still going to represent France, which must be like hugely exciting looking into the future.
Yes, it is, because they will never forget the national team. They will never forget where they were born. And it's always a pride for everybody who loves football and those kind of players to see them playing. I mean, when you see that the coach of one of the biggest club is somebody from Marseille, and I'm talking about Zinedine Zidane, that we see a statue of Thierry Henry at the Emirates Stadium, that so many other players have been named big times, you know, because of their talent, but also because they were coming from a country who built very good players.
Who's your best centre-back pairing? I mentioned Upamecano. You've got the veterans like Varane as well. Who would you start in these games?
Well, it's possible that Didier Deschamps will start with a 3-4-1-2. He did it in Tirana in the last game against Albani. So I don't know what's going to be. I don't know if Upamecano will have the chance to start. We'll see. We'll see how it works. I guess it will give the confidence to and the trust to Varane and Longley, supposedly, and maybe we'll launch Upamecano in the middle. But we'll see. We have lots of centre backs, you know, in the disposition of Didier Deschamps. Even Lucas Hernandez can play in that position. So let's see what the leader of that national team will decide. But we're all excited to see. Kavaminga at a certain point, a certain time of the game coming on, and the same for Upamecano.
One thing from this squad that struck me was the fact that Rabiot's in it, and if people cast their minds back to the World Cup, remember he refused to be on the reserve list that was announced by Deschamps. Why is he back in the squad, Frank? Because obviously he hasn't exactly set the world up alight at Juventus. It seems almost a strange pick.
You're right, Dan. I think it's a question mark that everybody has the right to ask, and so do I, because I don't understand. I mean, he didn't apologize to the national team, to the coach that he offended, I think, and to the country that he didn't want to represent, even if it was to be in a reserve. Well, his performances for Juventus have been very good lately, and I think it's why Deschamps decides to put him back. It's only because of that. It's not because of something else. I don't think he has something special with Rabiot to be pushed to put him back to the squad. I think it's also because some players are injured and not available that he has the chance to be in. But it's a big opportunity for him. If he's good, well, I think Didier Deschamps will go for it and will forgive him, like we all should do. I mean, you have a chance to have a. You have an opportunity to have a second chance. I think Rabiot has that one, and hopefully he's going to take it.
Frank Leboeuf, as always, a thank you very much. It's not a bad squad, is it, for the French? However, nothing compared to the mighty England, who are favourites to win Euro 2020, which, of course, will take place next year. France come in as third favourites. So France against Sweden live on Saturday on ESPN Plus at 2:35. Some great games for you. All starts tomorrow, Germany against Spain at 2:30 on ESPN2. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much, as always, for watching. Be sure to stay tuned, though, for Extra Time. We've got Gav and Craig, plus Stevie. We asked Stevie about whether or not he was on the receiving end of a Sir Alex Ferguson hairdryer, as Mark Ogden described in yesterday's show. Check it out. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Gav, Craig and Stevie with us. Stevie, I see a lot of people saying if Messi joins City, the Premier League title already has their name on it. Even myself, being a huge Messi fan, I disagree and don't think that's the case. What do you think?
Ooh. Well, I think initially when you go Messi, you go, oh, well, yeah, because he's going to score loads of goals and it's going to make a difference. But the truth is, it was Man City's defence that killed them as much as anything. So I think I'm with you. I think definitely he would certainly bring more goals than they got last year. But is it going to be enough, or would it be enough to bridge that gap of, what, 18 points? So I think, to be honest, it's about defence for them. Messi, yes, would give them more points and more goals, but just maybe not quite enough.
Mm. Do you agree, Craig?
I don't think it's a given. I mean, bearing in mind, we don't know if he can play and produce the kind of goods he's been producing for a decade at, say, Craven Cottage or Ellen Road. You know, so he's a big question mark whether Messi can produce these kind of highs at fortresses like St James's Park and others. So we just don't know. And there'll probably be some comments underneath this clip that thinks I'm being serious.
Meanwhile, Gab, a lot of positive signings so far for Inter Milan and AC Milan, and it seems like there's still more signings to be made. Do you expect both the Milan teams to fight for the Serie A title next season?
Well, I think a lot obviously is going to depend how things shake out at Juve, because obviously the new manager and obviously new players coming in as well. But yeah, I mean, Inter were right there this past season. And, you know, I don't love a guy like Arturo Vidal in the long term, but in the short term, apparently he's exactly, for example, what Conte wants. I think they've made some good signing. It looks like Kolarov as well. But short term, I think Inter are there. Milan taking more of a longer term view. So we might take longer to see the results. But I think both Milan clubs are definitely on the up.
Stevie, how awkward is it going to be if Luis Suarez does end up going to Juve and play alongside with Chiellini? Have you had a player you absolutely hated join your team or vice versa?
No, I can't. I can't honestly say I do. But, you know, football clubs and football players and dressing rooms have got a habit of kind of bringing things together. You know, because every dressing room, there are people in every dressing room that don't like somebody in it. Hmm. So that would be nothing new. This obviously is quite an extreme. But I think there's a good chance that they would get on fine. They would maybe laugh about it. I would suggest it would go that way rather than complete and utter animosity. So, yeah, I don't think it would be a problem. And I can't remember having a problem with anybody that either other team I joined or came and joined the team I was in.
Craig, anyone joining the team you didn't like?
Dan, that forget that. That was, you know, that delay we had there going to Nickel?
Yeah.
Was that our technology or was that delay in his brain starting to function?
It was the latter.
It's like an old steam train.
I think the viewers would prefer somebody to actually think about something before they just open the trap and spout out a lot of nonsense that sometimes you do. So it depends where you're coming from.
Craig, did you ever hate anyone that joined the club?
No.
What about ESPN FC?
Everyone.
Gab, how does Busquets get a call up to the Spanish national team? If he can still get a call, surely Craig should be expecting a call from Scotland.
I was going to point out, you know, Busquets did play for a team that finished second in La Liga last year. But then again, I was just thinking of the natural gap between Spain and Scotland and the fact that Busquets is 10 years younger than Craig. Those could probably even themselves out a tiny bit.
Stevie, we all understand what you dislike, but can you say two or three things that you actually like about Sergio Ramos?
Yeah, I love the way in the opposition penalty box he attacks the ball. I love the way that he riles up his teammates. I love his passion. You know, there's lots of good things that he has. He just goes overboard, particularly defensively. And that's why I say he's not world class. But yes, he's got lots of good traits.
Yeah, he loves his tattoos, Dan, as well. He's thinking about getting some.
Oh, Stevie with tattoos and a big beard. Although he's got rid of his beard, isn't he? Stevie with a big beard and tattoos, I think would go well. Stevie, would Craig be a better assistant coach at the Revs than Paul Mariner was, taking into considering Craig is now a people person?
No chance.
You didn't have to think about that.
Chance.
There was no delay there.
He's a firm believer. He's a firm believer in that if I was in the dressing room, I'd lose the plot fast.
I think you'd upset more than you would calm down. Let's be honest.
Would Gab work for a football club like Real Madrid as a UEFA financial fair play expert if given the opportunity?
Can I just clarify something on this financial fair play expert thing? Financial fair play experts are accountants and lawyers who spend a ton of time reading this stuff and know all the ins and outs and whatever. All I did was read the rules. That may make me an expert relative to 99.9% of the people who talk about financial fair play without saying what it is, but I'm by no means an expert to that level. I am being humble. Yeah.
That's why we love you so much.
Final question, boys. Did Stevie get the hairdryer from Sir Alex Ferguson in the 86 World Cup like Ogden did in 2012?
Oh my goodness, you talk about the opposite. You know, in 86, when we were all getting together and Fergie was going to be the manager, we'd heard all the stories at Aberdeen about how nobody was allowed out, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. It would be, I mean, everybody was expecting a lockdown pretty much. And then we met and we went to LA. And we had a night out in LA after we played a friendly, and we all thought that was it. We arrived in Mexico, and as soon as we got there, we got off the bus, and the news came round that the manager had called a meeting, and we all went, oh, here we go. There's going to be the rules and regulations. Don't do this. Don't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. Oh, my God. It was a complete opposite. He said, right, I'm just letting you know, we're going to be organising get-togethers most nights, maybe every other night. There'll be a group going to one restaurant. There'll be a group. We were like, ah, oh, yeah, beauty. I can't believe this. This is magic. And we did. We absolutely did. It was like half the time we felt as though we were on holiday. I mean, it was just brilliant. Going to restaurants, going for a few pints, going for a few beers. It was absolutely opposite of what we thought it was going to be. It was great.
Steve, I understand important thing about a World Cup is whether you're not allowed out to restaurants to drink. But what about like at half time?
Disgraced his country.
No.
Disgraced his country. I mean, let them down.
Yeah, right.
Hey, yeah. What I want to know is if you went to the World Cup in Mexico, where the hell did you find Shepherd's pie?
Yes.
For a month.
I can't even think what we were eating. Maybe because we didn't eat enough a lot, we were in the juice, maybe.
Oh, let your country down again.
Dan.
Yes, Gab.
I'm imagining sort of a 10-year-old, Craig Burley, at home in Scotland, sort of crying, disappointed in front of his TV at the antics of Scotland at the 86 World Cup. And now all these years later, he discovers the reason why.
Yeah.
It's because they were being let out every other night to go to restaurants.
Not to eat, but to drink. Well.
And that's where bad habits can kick in, Gab. That's where, you know, the bad habits and all that kick in, because a few years later, we went to the World Cup in France and we did the same thing because we thought it was okay.
Because the precedent set by the nickel generation.
If it's good enough for them to go out and get beer every night before a big World Cup game, and then it's good enough for us.
Did you ever score in that World Cup, Craig?
Well, let me talk you through the goal.
That's it then. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.